numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Not quite July 4th. Happy July 4th in advance. That will be tomorrow. We'll be here as well for all-day baseball. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, the return of producer number 9. So
hey!
Much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Just happy to be back here just in time for July 4th. Big show coming up tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Oh, don't miss it. We'll be here. First of all, thank you to Wyatt Tomchek and to Brian Ortega, who are here in your stead.
Yes. Doing great work, I'm sure.
You ever use the word stead besides in your stead? I don't think you do.
No, but I think we found another one.
There you go. In your stead. They were great. They were awesome. Kelly back, though, from his staycation. Did you get into trouble? You all right? Is there incidents that you wanted to report, share?
Nothing too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing too bad.
Just checking. See if
I did get recognized by my voice.
Oh, wow.
Twice. Like, it's one of those, like, you know, when do you know you're too loud?
Yeah.
When someone comes up from 20 feet away in a packed casino, I'd be like, are you Kelly from Visa? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was just walking by, I recognized your voice. That happened twice.
Twice.
Twice. Yeah, not once, twice.
That happened to me yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yes. Yeah. It happens. It's very strange.
One of them was like yelling at a friend. Yelling at a friend. I might have had a few drinks. I mean, this guy comes up, I'm like, hey, yeah, hi, oh, yeah, yeah. Did you hear that? You heard my voice and recognized me? Okay.
Well, it's good to have you back. We have part two of Steve Fezzik today. In case those of you who were here on or listening on Friday enjoyed two segments with Steve Fezzik, we didn't get to everything. So we got two more in studio with Steve Fezzik coming up today. On this July 3rd. Also, Wes Reynolds, little Wes's more. Zach Cohen on Wimbledon. Wimbledon started this morning, overnight, really, for most of the United States. I have bets that I would like to share here because 6 of the 7 have yet to start. That's right, 7 plays on day 1 at Wimbledon, the third major of the tennis calendar, the grass major, if you will. And Paul Sporer will be here to talk Major League Baseball with us. First, before I get to those tennis plays, or maybe should I give the tennis plays first just in case some of them start? Because there's rain and some of these matches are suspended and I don't know what's going on.
Let's go for it.
And then we'll get to Kelly not having Keegan Bradley and see what he had yesterday. okay, so like I said, 1 of the 7 plays, and by the way, these are all available at VSiN.com/pick. So if you subscribe, you will have had these not quite 24 hours ago, but close to 24 hours ago. The one match that has already begun is Marcelo Tomas Barrios Veras, who was a plus 113 dog against Sebastian Baez. He's up 2-1, play suspended again in the fourth set at 5-5. So that one's already started. The other 6 have yet to go. And for those who are unfamiliar again with how I primarily bet tennis, it's all about numbers as a backdrop. So the way to winnow down, I mean, how many matches were there today? 64 total matches on the men's and the ladies' side, 32 each. The way to winnow it down is to first look at the data, and that is the massive filter of how I came down to these. That's how I do it every single day. And then on top of that, you sort of, you know, use your handicapping brain to say, okay, does that make sense? What else is going on here? And so on the men's side, the plays coming up, Lloyd Harris at minus 118 against Gregoire Barrère. By the way, shop around for these. You might have been able to get better numbers. By the way, minus 110, pardon me. You might have been able to get better numbers than I did, perhaps a little worse. But usually, these are mainly in pocket, I believe, right now. I'll double-check on these. But Lloyd Harris, minus 110, South African player who had been great in his career, then had lost everything, really had lost his game. Now he's back to playing really well, has had a nice grass court season, big serve. He's the play at minus 110 against Barrère. Yannick Hanfmann, you see the big number there, plus 325. He's a guy that we've won on, if you may recall, if you've been betting tennis with us for a while, on different surfaces. He's more of a clay court guy, but plus 325 against the American Taylor Fritz. Fritz is not in good form. Maybe he's injured. I don't know. But Hanfmann, no reason he can't be a great grass court player. He has great grass numbers in the limited grass data that we have. Plus 325 is the flyer of the day. And by flyer, I mean, I think we got a good shot here. I really do. Quentin Halas at plus 107. The common characteristic of all three of these guys, Halas, Hanfmann, and Harris, besides their last names beginning with an HA, is that they're all great servers. And Quentin Halas at plus 107 is the play against the Brit Daniel Evans. That's the three remaining men's plays. And then the three on the ladies' side that are to come, Rebecca Masarova, minus 107. Masarova is taking on the Egyptian Meyer Sharif this morning. Masarova is a player who has beaten the likes of Bianca Andreescu and Sasnovich recently on grass. She is a really good player who got hurt or had some really sort of freak injury in the quarterfinals of the last tournament, so she's well-rested here. I like her at minus 107. Katerina Siniaková at plus 108. I think this is wrong lady favorite here in this match. I think Siniaková should be. We say that in baseball sometimes. Wrong team favorite. This is wrong ladies tennis player favorite, in my opinion. Siniaková just won at Bad Homburg. Not to be confused, Kelly, with Good Homburg.
Uh-huh.
She won at Bad Homburg as Siniaková. So as to the extent that she can recover quickly from that, she should be the favorite here. I got her at plus 108. And then Victoria Hrunčáková, who I want to remember what her last name used to be or what she went by anyway. Kuzmova used to be her last name, right? So it's Hrunčáková, Victoria Hrunčáková. She's at plus 193 against Elise Mertens. Good grass numbers. She has not had a good historical against Mertens. Mertens is really good on grass, but at plus 193, that number appeared to be way too high for me. So that's really, of all the plays, more of a numbers play than everything. So those are your six remaining. Harris, Hanfman, Halas on the men's side and on the ladies' side. A bunch of ovas, I should say. Siniaková, Masarova, Hrunčáková. Got that, Kelly? Kelly will be pronouncing all later on in the show.
I got it. You are Siniaková. I'm sure got it right. You're right. I'm looking at DraftKings right now, minus 115 on her.
So she ended up being
moved to the favorite. Yes.
Okay. I would still play it at that number. I wouldn't let it get to minus 120.
And then Masarova even money over at DraftKings, so you can actually get a little bit better. Than what you had.
Wow, yeah. That's surprising to me. Okay. So there you go. Thank you for the pricing update. Yesterday in golf. Now this is one of the things we talked about in Kelly's absence the other day. By the way, play suspended, rain delay for most of Wimbledon at this current moment, so you should have enough time to get in all of these. When Kelly was not here last week, Keegan Bradley had just won a tournament, and we had joked, Kelly, and it spilled on over to Twitter, that you always play Keegan Bradley, and this is the one week you did not last week.
I mean, did I have a few bucks on him live on Sunday? Yeah, yes. But I didn't play him pre-flop.
You did not pre-flop it. Did you have Ricky Fowler? Ricky Fowler wins his first tournament since 2019 yesterday, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And by the way, if you were able to see it, you were watching on your phone or on your computer.
What a disaster.
So they anticipated inclement weather in Detroit. They moved the tournament up, and nobody at the network adjusted at CBS. So you ended up either watching some ESPN Plus on it, and then you were forced, in either case, to go to the CBS Sports app to watch the playoff. It ended up being a three-man playoff between Fowler, Hadwin, and Morikawa, and it was a sudden death format, though the announcer messed it up. I think Terry Gannon messed it up at first and said it was a three-hole format, so he sort of threw off the audience at one point. But it's a sudden death. Fowler immediately puts his ball way right, and you're like, okay. And the other two guys are in great position, Hadwin and Morikawa. And so you're like, well, Fowler gacked it. His streak of not winning since 2019 will continue. And then within one shot, everybody's approaches, he was the guy in winning position, and he sinks an 11-foot putt to win it. Congratulations to everybody who had Ricky Fowler. Did you, sir?
No, I didn't do it. I actually didn't. I didn't make a single golf bet last week.
Really?
Took the whole week off.
Wow, you
were
really
nice.
On vacation.
Yeah, I was on vacation. I watched most of that round, though, yesterday. Man, the TV coverage was a nightmare. I've kind of been wondering why that hasn't happened more when it's the CBS. The automatic assumption from a lot of people, I think, is go to Golf Channel. Golf Channel is owned by NBC.
Right.
So when a lot of this stuff's on CBS, like, they do dump it onto Golf Channel sometimes. I've kind of wondered how that works. And I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more what we saw yesterday more often. But, man, it's a disaster. You're scrambling. It's an early start because you got weather issues, and then you got to go wherever, find it on CBSSports.com or ESPN+. That was crazy. The ending was great, though. Morikawa, this is turning into a tough season for Colin Morikawa. He had that choke at the beginning of the year in Hawaii where John Rahm ran him down in the century. He makes a 9-foot birdie putt or whatever it was on his 18th hole. He's walking away with a victory yesterday, misses that, leaves the door open for Hadwin and Fowler to come in and tie him. I thought Ricky was amazing. amazing with two approach shots right on 18, and then on that first playoff hole, like you described, he's in the rough on both. Is able to stick them both close, goes up there and makes two huge putts. So we saw it earlier in the year with Jason Day. We're seeing it now with Ricky Fowler. We see these guys getting better and better and better and better. Are they back? They're finally back when they go out and win a tournament like this. And it might not have been an elevated event with a massively great field, but you still out-dueled Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin at the end to pick up this victory. I thought it was pretty huge for Ricky yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely huge. If you could, and we saw his putting at the U.S. Open, too, which was outstanding then as well. If you could give his putting to Scottie Scheffler, would Scottie Scheffler ever lose a golf tournament? Ever?
Probably not.
I mean, Fowler was just tremendous. And Morikawa's approach shot was the worst of the bunch yesterday, just into the back rough. At least Hadwin's was on the green, but it spun back past Ricky's yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I think. Morikawa missed that by about 2 feet because that's what he was looking to go to the top of that green and spin it back. Kind of like Hadwin did, but Hadwin went. He missed it low.
Any Open Championship bets from you yet?
I have one in the account. We were talking before the show, that time of year where I have three open bets right now, Gil. Three.
That's
in
it.
In every sport, every future, every market, I have three. Patrick Cantlay at the Open Championship is one of them, 30-1.
I have seven open right now in tennis.
Yeah, you do.
But it is that time of year, right? Like
it's that time of year. Yeah, you want to hear my other two? Jags to win the AFC South at -150. And Brett Beatty to win NL Rookie of the Year. How's that looking?
That's not that
only baseball bet.
That one's not so much. Yeah, that one's not happening. Though the Mets won themselves a series finally in a first in a month. Didn't win a series in the month of June. Finally won one against the Giants here to start July. We'll come back. NBA free agency and Wimbledon futures that I made next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. I'm not sure if you heard about this. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your newly released NFL betting guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, you missed football week last week. It was awesome. Talking football each and every day, either me or guests. Just riffing on the upcoming NFL season. You and I are a big, when the season comes, then it will be time to talk about a sport. But this was actually pretty cool to force ourselves to dive into it.
Okay. Well, any bets you walked away with?
Oh, yeah. I did the NFC East, so I had a bevy bevy of NFC East bets.
I like it.
Giants fans hate me already. Going under, and I'm going alternate season win total on the Giants as well.
We don't have alt sub
unders, by the way.
Do we?
Yes, in one location.
Oh,
I believe we do.
Interesting.
I believe.
I'll check around.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was fun in that respect because, you know, you got to hear from everybody on different things. And there's a lot of, you know, inevitably every off season, there is a, you know, like last year it was the Lions, right? Everybody loved the Lions. And they ended up being pretty good in the end, but they certainly took a while to get started towards that. This year, it feels like it's the Falcons. Like everybody, and I know it's a weak division, so maybe that's part of it, but it feels like everybody loves the Falcons, which I'm like, okay, I guess.
I don't think I want anything to do with that division.
I don't want anything to do with it at all. Staying as far away from it as possible. Let's talk some baseball. Big day in baseball tomorrow. We got 10 games today, but day baseball is always a fun thing. Paul Sporer joins us for FanGraphs. Paulie! How you doing?
Morning, Gil.
How you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What KC baseball cap is that right there?
City Connect.
When the Boston Red Sox wear their traditional yellow and blue, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's for the marathon, though, so I get that one. I don't love that one just because, I mean, I don't think those the UCLA colors are great for me, but I respect what they did with that, with the marathon, but it's probably lower on my City Connect ranking.
Hey, let me ask you this randomly. Will Hill turned me on to this. Are you familiar with Immaculate Grid?
Love it. Playing every day.
Every
day. It's tailor-made for me.
Oh, dude, for you, for me, it's tailor-made for all of us. It is.
Honestly, it really is tailor-made for us because the meta to getting like the lowest numbers, because everyone's trying to get their low percentage, their guy that like doesn't have a picture or 0.0%, is older guys. And by old, I really just mean like before the 2010s.
Right.
You don't even have to know like 50s, 60s guys. You know some early 2000s, 90s guys, you're getting 2%, 3% because everyone focuses on the here and now.
Let me give these guys are going to get a boost in traffic after we talk about this, but let me explain to people what it is. It's a simple game called Immaculate Grid. It's basically set up like a tic-tac-toe board. There's three vertical columns, obviously three horizontal columns, and there are categories on the three on the top and three on the side. And so essentially, you just have to name a baseball player in the entire history of baseball who meets the two criteria that meet vertically and horizontally. You get a grand total of nine guesses, so you'd have to go nine for nine to get all the boxes.
Can't miss.
And the beauty of it is, as you just pointed out, the more obscure the picks, the better. That's and the genius.
They've added something called rarity score. Like, they're playing into that, too, for people to kind of flex. But for me, I don't want to ever lose a board. So if I can only think of Greg Maddux for, Padres Braves square or something, I'm still going to put him if that's all I can come up with, because you don't want to lose. So you want to go obscure, but you want to balance it with actually getting the nine out of nine, or else I don't care. I don't care how obscure you got.
That's right.
If your board is not complete.
Well, I can't wait for the next one every day. Like, I'm like, oh, where's the next one? It's like crap.
Same.
Totally. All right. Let me ask you this. Shohei Ohtani, 31 ding dongs. If he ends up with more homers than Judge did last year, is the media going to act this year like he's setting the home run record like they did with Judge last year, which was just a ridiculous moment in time?
I hated that so much, and I hate to like poo-poo Judge. It's nothing against him, but that whole AL home run record crap. They were just looking for ways to promote him over Shohei because they were already bored of acknowledging that Shohei is so far and away the most valuable player in baseball. It's not even funny. If he plays, you know, if he stays healthy, and is just like himself, he's the MVP. So I don't know exactly how it'll go as far as whether or not they'll promote him for the 64 homers, new AL record, whatever. But he's so easily the MVP. It's not. I don't even know that a ticket on another AL player makes any sense right now, because at that point you're just rooting for injury, and that's kind of a morbid way to
injury
place your bets,
or trade to an NL team. Something.
Yeah. The trade to the NL would be the only like non-disaster route. That he's not winning the AL MVP right now.
Do you agree that the Braves are leaps and bounds better than any other team in baseball right now?
Any other team in the National League, I think so.
Not in the American. You think the Rays are up there?
I think the Rays. I like the Rangers, too.
You do?
I really like that Rangers club.
Sustainable.
I think so. You know, they've got some issues that they could still address with some pitching. You know, they got Chapman probably to feel comfortable of having another go-to lefty with Will Smith being their closer. You know, that's always kind of the bias against lefty closers, is that if you don't have another lefty for those 7-8 inning for the key lefty, you don't want to have your closer there. Well, if you got Chapman for, say, who's like a key lefty, let's say like a Freddie Freeman against the Dodgers in the seventh inning, then you can still use Will Smith as the closer. So I really do like the Rangers, but the Braves are really, really tough. I do think they're the number one. I just don't think they're leaps and bounds ahead of the Rays and Rangers right
now. Okay. I thought you were going to say bounds maybe, but not leaps and bounds.
Not like leaps. Yeah.
Bounds ahead. Least sustainable team with a winning record for the rest of the season right now would be, in your opinion?
Oh, man. I hate to be negative on the Marlins because they're really fun. Actually, you know what? I think they are more sustainable than the Reds. I'm going to be the wet blanket on the most exciting team in the league right now. They just don't have enough pitching, and I don't know what they're going to do to address that. I really think they should go out, pick up some veterans. I've been talking about a guy like Lance Lynn for them. I know he's got a home run issue, and taking that into Cincy isn't the best thing, but they need guys who have dominance. They need guys who can miss bats. And when Lance Lynn's on, if they feel like they can get the best Lance Lynn version for the rest of the year, I think a guy like that or a Giolito, honestly, they should just call the White Sox. Giolito, Lynn, If they go bigger deal, maybe they could get Cease, who does have 2 years of team control, but they need pitching. So as much as I love what the Reds are doing and that offense is electric, it's probably them over the Marlins, because pitching can carry you, and the Marlins have pitching in spades. Maybe those two teams are you know, a win-win trade right now, two contenders trading a pitcher for a hitter type deal.
I asked you some version of this last week, but I want to ask you a different way. Give me the teams. Like, how many teams could go either way right now, trade deadline a month from now? Is it 5 teams right now that you still don't know? Is it 10? How many is it?
Yeah, it's probably closer to 10. It's a lot. And, you know, I'm of the opinion, I've heard people talk about, like, moving the deadline back so teams are more, you know, set on what they want to do. I don't like that. I'd rather go the other way with it. They won't do that. The problem if you, like, move up the deadline is that I think a lot of teams would just stand pat and just have inaction because they'd be too nervous to blow it up too early. So given that where the deadline is at the end of or early August, I think it's August 1st again, right now there are so many teams that look at the Reds. We were not talking about them in any sort of capacity. They go on a hot run. Now, not every team can get a 12-game winning streak, but it really shows that you're a week and a half away from really putting yourself back into this. If the Cubs reel off 7 straight, they'd be 45 and 44 all of a sudden. They're over 500. Some things are working for them. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're the team, but, you know, the Mets, of course, they've been the biggest disappointment. They're not that far from turning things around. The Mariners and the Guardians are right there on the cusp. So there's a bunch of teams that the right July could put them front and center buying pieces. The wrong July could have them selling guys that we would have never thought were going to be available.
10 games in Major League Baseball today. What do you like best from a betting perspective? And if you've delved into DFS at all?
I got more DFS than looking at the games right now. Okay. I'm really, honestly, even though I am wearing the KC hat, I'm going kind of hard against them. I like a Minnesota stack pretty big here. You get Joe Ryan in there as one of your pitchers, and then a bunch of their hitters against Austin Cox. Interesting young guy. I'm glad that they've called up some of their younger arms instead of just running out the same old in KC. That said, I don't really trust Austin Cox to shut down the Twins. They've been an interesting team, kind of. They need to figure out where they're at right now, but I do like that lineup. I'm thinking Miranda, Buxton, Correa. I also like Blake Snell to go with Joe Ryan as my combo over at DraftKings. And then as far as a play, I'll probably take the Astros as a dog. I know I just got done talking up Texas, but the Javier Perez matchup, I think you're getting a big pitcher edge there. And then I understand that Houston's lineup isn't the juggernaut that we've seen, but it can still do damage. I don't believe that Perez is anywhere near the guy that we saw last year. So while I do like the Rangers long-term today, I do like the Astros to begin that Silver Boot series and beat them.
All right, 20 seconds real quick. Shane McClanahan, mid-back tightness. AL Cy Young rejiggered that market. Valdez is the short shot, followed by Cole Gausman. Eovaldi, McClanahan tied, and then Ohtani. Does that seem right to you that Valdez should be the short shot?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what he's doing. He's added Ks. He's really dynamic now. Framber Valdez, best pitcher going right now in the American League.
Paul Sporer, everybody. Happy 4th, a day in advance, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, same to you, Gil. Take care.
Paul Sporer from Fangraphs, Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Check him out at Sporer on the Twitter machine. Zachary Cohen joins us to talk a little Wimbledon. It's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us on this July 3rd. Steve, the only back-to-back winner in Hilton Super Contest history back in the day. So you always have that, sir.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but still, it's a nice thing to have.
And part of that, I think, people rightly recognize where they say, oh, Fez understood closing line value a lot more than other people were. Like in contests, I would routinely give me -2 when the line was closing 3. I need a reason not to play.
Is that your easy jump shot sign that you just
Yes, yeah. And a lot of other people would just take their 5 best plays. They wouldn't even look at what the contest lines were. Now things have changed.
Yes,
dramatically.
Dramatically. So yes. Did you have a we got interrupted rudely by the commercial about your hedging talk there. Did you want to say something else?
Oh, yeah. So Joe Pita, everything he says makes logical sense, except for we don't live in a world where there's transaction-free costs. So if you have exchanges and the like, and it's cheap to make all these bets, it makes sense. My point was just that, like, my goodness, you start hedging week 8, and you start hedging across the board. the transaction cost will eat you alive.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd say week eight. He probably was later than
week
eight.
It was probably week 10. Okay. Yeah, somewhere right there.
You also mentioned off air, you actually like a baseball play today, sight unseen on pitchers.
Yeah, so it's just a situational spot's terrible for the Cleveland Guardians. They were in Wrigley and bad weather in Chicago. Shocker. It rains in Chicago quite a bit.
What?
So game was delayed on Saturday last night. The game got delayed forever. Then they wound up going extra innings. Cleveland blows their lead. It goes 10 innings. So it was a long day at Wrigley
for
the guards or the guardians or whatever we're calling them today. And so now they're playing. What are they playing? The cons today? No, they're playing Atlanta, the best team easily in MLB, coming home. And I like fading teams coming home off a road trip anyways. So if I had to make a bet, another square ball bet, it's Square Monday. I would bet the Atlanta Braves minus the 150.
square ball Monday. Not to be confused with irresponsible bet Saturday, which we often do when there's a horse race.
UFC, baby.
Yeah, a horse racing UFC Kiniella on a Saturday. Okay, college football. We talked about how you like Georgia. Call that a square ball bet of the day. What about, and I think this is sort of a broader and more interesting thing. So the college football season coming up. There's a way to play this, you think, this will probably go away after a couple few weeks. But heading into this college football season, you are very focused on what the first couple weeks?
College football totals unders. And the reason being, whenever there's a rules change, I love rules changes, change every year. So college football games last too long. So finally I said, you know what we're going to do is after a team gets a first down, we're going to just keep the clock running, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not that significant a difference, but I think it's going to be about 2 points. It's going to reduce scoring by about 2 points. And I got to tell you, how many times do you watch Wisconsin's playing some Ball State? There's 6 minutes left. They get the ball on the 40. A gain of 8.
Yeah.
Gain of 6. First down. Clock stops. Gain of 4. Gain of 7. Clock stops.
Our whole lives.
End of the game. They punch it in with the minute to play. Just enough time, you know, because that clock kept stopping as they're like running all over poor gassed Mac team. And, you know, I went back and I said, well, did they adjust the totals? You know, have the odds makers against these openers move the totals? I'm not going to go into all the great details. My numbers show they haven't. They're dealing numbers that are comparable right now to what they closed last year, which means there's got to be value playing under. So how can we benefit? Well, so we don't need to play the whole board under, but we can selectively. And by the way, and I prefer the week zero games to the week one games under, because historically they've been lower scoring, less time to prepare. But selectively, do your work. I would look to avoid playing any overs right now, and I would look to play unders. And pulling back the curtain again, if somebody like Right Angle Sports comes out and says, we're going to have a play, we're going to say set up and go. If Right Angle sets up an over on college football, I'm chilling like Dylan. I'm waiting and seeing if it's legitimate. But if they say set up and under,
you're bang, all over it.
I'm playing under. I'm going before they say go, and I'm getting down because it's very likely it's a legitimate play.
Steve, referring to Ed Golden's operation at Right Angle Sports. Ed will be part of the panel that I've been honored to moderate at the upcoming Bet Bash 3 in August here, Spanky's great sports betting conference. But Ed Golden, who moves markets at Right Angle Sports, interesting that even you, like, you would have some skepticism on an over early, from even if it came from him at this point.
I'd still play it. But I'd wait for confirmation that it was indeed a play and not just a setup. I'm one of those guys that
jumped the gun.
All the time. So, and this is where the advantage, we talk about top-down and bottom-up approaches.
Yes.
If you got both going for you, so I'm doing top-down, I'm following Right Angle Sports, but I've already done my numbers.
You're originating your own numbers.
So because of that, if I like stuff already, like I like the college football unders, I can use that information to get the best of every world.
Yeah. So again, we've had Ed on, we've had Michael Craig on from Right Angle Sports. People who listen to this show know. So they have a whole process as how they release. We've actually done it live on air, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like we've had to reset a few times. So what you're saying is you will jump the gun, but if it's an over, you'll be cautious about it this time.
I won't jump the gun.
You won't jump the gun.
I will gotcha. Wait for confirmation. If he indeed says, all right, we're going Notre Dame over 49 against Navy, well, then I'll bet it. Once he says go, I'm going because I know it's going to be 52 and 20 in about 13 seconds.
Wow, so with unders, you don't mind if you're even betting the wrong game basically then?
If he says it's a no go, if it's a cancel, I'm fine because I think I could play every under and eke out a small profit anyways.
And the theory being that the markets will adjust by week three, let's say. So this is why you're focused on the beginning of the season. Did you find in baseball with the rule changes that you had a similar theory and that it didn't manifest, or did it for the first couple weeks of the season?
It absolutely manifests. So with the baseball rules changes, the no shift, the fatter bases, and they're still wearing longer and longer oven mitts. It's so literally, yeah. So literally, it was like you looked at the scoring and it was up significantly in April versus you know prior year. So if you just bet overs in April, yes, you did very well.
You were saying off air, you and I could do this for 4 hours. We really could. Let me get into one thing here in our final few minutes because we have always talked about bringing this up at some point. We've never gotten around to it, so let's do it today, which is 3 minutes on. We've had Bill Krakenberger in here before where he has slandered, and I love Bill, right? But he has slandered 7 stars at Caesars. And I say to him while he's slandered, I say, oh, we got to get Fezzik in here for you guys to do point counterpoint on this. You love 7 stars, Caesars, and why is that?
Okay, and Diamond is a lesser status that I love as well. So both of them, and you can get it in the Caesars app. It's harder now because it's not as good as it was 2 weeks ago, but you bet sports. If you bet a whole lot of money, you can get all the way up to 7 stars. The perks are just fantastic. If you take full advantage, free golf for four at Cascada. Is that good?
It's pretty good.
Golf for four at Rio Seco.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. You want to go to the Bahamas? You want to go to Atlantis? You want to stay in the Cove?
That's my favorite one.
For free? That's pretty good. You want to fly to a retreat once a year, $1,200 worth of airfare. It's comped. Absolutely. You want to fly to Vegas, $600. It's free. And guess what? Every time you get 7 stars, you get $500 in dining credits. Yeah. And every time you get another 250,000 points, you get another. This doesn't count against your points. Just free, an extra $500 in dining credits. You get to park for free.
So is Bill's disappointment with it about the fact that you don't get any specific betting perks with it?
That may well be, because this isn't helping you win more in gambling. Although, if you're a poker pro, you cut the line at the poker. So you give your 7 star, boom, if the list is 50 deep, you're number one. You get into your game immediately. You cut the cab line, and you get 4 free drinks a day, even if you're just Diamond, all right?
Yeah.
And here's pulling back the curtain, the little secret. A lot of people just go to Starbucks and get 4 free juices and stuff. Kelly, you and I, we'll invite Gil too. We can go to Nobu. Or we can go to Stanton Social Prime, and we can get like a pineapple martini, one of our free drinks. You get four of those a day. So you can just go and drink at Nobu, and I love Nobu. Not even eat, because it's so expensive.
This is actionable.
This is actionable. Quality information.
So you can get $90 worth of drinks, your 4 drinks. They're like $25 each, you know?
Can I just bring up one real life sort of hiccup to all of this? You brought up Starbucks. You get to cut the line at Starbucks. Let's take the Planet Hollywood Starbucks, which is like 20, 30 deep. It takes a little bit of moxie, doesn't it, to sort of circumvent that line and be like, 7 stars, pardon me. Because inevitably, they don't know that you're 7 stars, so they don't know what 7 stars is, and people are going to look at you and be like, who's this schmuck?
It's happened to me before, but there is a big 7-star only.
What a shocker.
It's true in the food court also, so if you want to be shy, you hang back and just hold up your card to the employee, and the employee will say, sir, 7 stars, and they will prompt you instead of you. I just cut.
They'll be the bad guy.
I'm the bad. I just cut in line. But you can be more gracious about it. Yes.
Yeah.
The two that jumped out to me, the cutting the poker line and the cab line.
Because,
cabs, that could be rough at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night or Saturday night. That might be a long line sometimes.
By the way, if you, this is old school. Like, if you're willing to slip the cab line guy at 20, this worked back in the day all the time. They'll put you in the front of the line, no problem.
20 is absolutely the number.
Yeah.
And it's too much downtown. I've learned that. Like, thanks, man.
You've ratcheted back downtown.
But the Caesars 7-star secret valet that is on Flamingo Road is the easiest with all this construction. It is so easy to get in and out, and the guys there are fantastic. You know, they'll take care of you and leave your car right there.
All right, let's get you back later in July, okay?
Sounds good.
My man, Steve Fezzik, everybody. The only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest champ. Kind enough to join us, not one, but 2 days, 2 segments apiece. Wes Reynolds on the other side. Golf next.